This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
This is the last quarter leaf moon. It's 21 days old. And it's pretty much steady. A synodic says the synodic outlook is a good time to sow anything in the garden. And it's not a good time to sow anything in the garden. Well, that's because of the waning moon, right? And they say that you might better spend your time building a new compost heap. The biodynamic forecast, moon in Scorpio, water sign, good time to sow leaf plants. And sidereal people recommend planting germination and planting anything, actually, germination and strong, sturdy growth at this time, even under a waning moon. It's when you farm according to a lunar calendar, it's a very different world. And that is a traditional, conventional forecast and the alternative forecast. We're going to move right into the show today. Just want to let you know, eventual costs, the cost of war, including veterans' health care and benefits to U.S. taxpayers, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, will run probably at the end, and it'll probably be higher, between $4 and $6 trillion. That's trillion with a T. That's a new report from Harvard's Linda Blimes. And the report, as well as another put out by Brown University, that estimated the total war costs of $3 trillion. Still, I suppose when you get up in the trillions, it's an unimaginable sum of money. But we don't need to imagine it because it's real. And there is a public hearing on forest practice rule changes coming up. I will be doing more on that later. The Oregon Department of Forestry is holding a public hearing on proposed changes to administrative rules adopted under the Oregon Forest Practices. This, again, is worrying. So a statutory written plans are required in general housekeeping updates. It's going to be down in Salem, and more on that later as the date April 22nd approaches. So moving right along, down south in Coos Bay, a California stevedoring company has until the end of the month to decide if it still wants to ship coal from Montana and Wyoming to Asia through Coos Bay, Oregon. Two of its partners have dropped out, and the final one apparently is out of the picture too. A document posted on the International Port of Coos Bay's website yesterday said that Mitsui and Company, that's the U.S. subsidiary of a Japanese trading company, and Korean Electric Power Corporation, the potential buyer of the coal, are no longer part of the project, which pretty much takes the project. The development is heartening for those in Coos Bay who have worked tirelessly on these issues. The port CEO, David Koch, said that the port was continuing to develop new shipping facilities, but did not say if that would include coal. Environmentalists have mounted a campaign to stop the proposed shipments, and that campaign, of course, is going full force. And many, I expect many listeners consider themselves to be part of that campaign, and well, they might. More on the environment and the coast. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. has rejected a proposal by the federal government that would have dropped nearly 4 million acres of designated critical habitat for the marbled murrelet. The consent decree proposed last summer would have partially settled a lawsuit brought by the American Forest Resource Council. So that's Southwest Oregon's Douglas County and the Carpenters Industrial Council against the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The groups argue that the agency inappropriately set aside habitat for the bird in 1966. Well, wait a minute. The threatened seabird nests, as we know, nests in coastal forests in Oregon, but it is a great deal larger significance than that. This is not just for bird watchers. When you remove a species from from any system, you weaken the system because it has downstream effects which are too complex to be predictable. In other words, we don't have algorithms capable of forecasting what the removal of any given species is, what it's going to look like. So we can't know the damage that we are doing. We only know that these systems are fragile. They've evolved over millions of years, and tinkering with them only causes woe in the outcome. Briefly, before we speak with our guest this morning, Norman Solomon, who's speaking with us about the revoking the Nobel Prize from President Obama. First, just this is a classic. Get this: people are leaping on the opportunity to scalp tickets to the Dalai Lama's appearance. Apparently, when the Dalai Lama agreed to speak at the University of Oregon on May 10th, his contract required that the event be non-commercial and that the U of O would charge only a nominal ticket price. Ho, ho, ho! That any excess would go to charity. But a ticket broker, Ticket Liquidator, is offering tickets online for the Dalai Lama's Eugene appearance at more than 10 times the U of O's original $20 price. We now go to Norman Solomon to talk about the campaign to revoke President Obama's Nobel Peace Prize. When that prize was first awarded, there were gasps of horror around the world. And now, of course, with the targeted assassinations, the Terror Tuesdays, with the secrecy, with the deployment of drones everywhere, the cry to revoke that prize has grown a lot louder. Good morning, Norman. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. A pleasure.
How's it going?
Well, it's going well. Our announcement went out about 2.5 hours ago of this campaign to urge the Nobel Committee to revoke the Nobel Peace Prize for President Obama. As it happens, that acceptance speech by Obama in Oslo occurred 40 months ago. And as you noted, a lot has occurred since then to undermine any claim that it's an appropriate gift of a Nobel Peace Prize conferred on him. This has been launched by RootsAction.org, a national group that I co-founded with Jeff Cohen, who I think you had on the air yesterday. And we have 250,000 members nationwide. The petition that Jeff talked about yesterday is sort of a combined or a twin petition previously urging a Nobel Peace Prize for the Pentagon whistleblower Bradley Manning has now received 35,000 signers online. And so I'd urge your listeners, if they'd like to sign that one, or a little bit later today, they can get a chance to sign the revoke the Nobel Peace Prize for Obama petition. Either way, they can go to rootsaction.org. It really is a question of war does not equal peace. And we know when we read the novel 1984 what a horrific concept that was. No, war does not equal peace. And if it begins to in the public mind or in the public press and so forth, it really undermines our moral and intellectual capacities to be reasonably reasonable.
And it seems, too, that Obama has embarked on this ill-advised drone warfare campaign without any sort of ethical or moral accountability or direction. So that too needs to be considered. There's a lot going on in all of these. The Bradley Manning issue, of course, is just to note that the top Swedish prosecutor pursuing charges against Julian Assange has abruptly left the case, and one of Assange's accusers has sacked her lawyer. So I want to thank you so much, Norman Solomon. I'm so glad to have you on the KBOO airwaves, and we are in the middle of membership drive right now, and it's time to go and speak with Justin Miller and Conch are out there in the membership room, fellow members and volunteers. And we're so glad to have you with us this morning.
Hi there, Chris. Hi. Yes, the number to call is indeed toll-free 877-500-KBOO. It's 877-500-5266. Fantastic to have Norman Solomon on the show. Norman Solomon, a dogged media figure, amazing source of information, great mind, a recent candidate for Congress. and a homegrown KABU reporter. How many people know that Norman took free classes in radio at his start as a media figure here at KBOO? Like so many other people, so many people you knew, the Jerusalem correspondent for OPB, Emily Harris, award-winning reporters out there, Rob Manning, Julie Sabatier, all got their start here at KABU. We offer free classes in everything from reporting to editing to field recording. How many people, Norman Solomons would you like to send out into the world? That depends on how much you would like to contribute as your membership to KABU. When you go online, kboo.fm, or call toll-free 877-500-KBOO.
It would be hard to argue that we have had more tireless volunteers than Chris Andre, who comes in every day to single-handedly make a brief newscast for you on issues that are specifically relevant to the KABU community. Again, you tuned away from the shrieking heads a long time ago. You can't bear it, and you don't get the information. You just get delivered into the hands of advertisers. Whereas here at KABU, we're operating on a different model. We're not making our commercial decisions, our programming decisions, based on what might suit commercial advertisers. We're making it based on what might suit the community. What are the issues of the day? What is being left undone by other media sources? And if we don't do it, dear friends, a very good chance it's not going to get done. And we're asking you to put a price on that. The amount that you decide is not really the biggest issue. The biggest issue is that you join, that you vote, that you stand up and be counted as a stakeholder. Won't you do that right now? The amount of money is not as important as that you get involved. Why don't we have five people call in and start or renew a membership? That way we can put your name in the KABU Good Book. 877-500-KBOO. That's toll free from anywhere in North America. 877-500-5266.
Yes, you heard you've heard so many amazing guests on Chris's show. You've heard people arguing for Bradley Manning getting the Nobel Prize. You heard yesterday Mike Bonanno of the Yes Men doing a wonderful April Fool's cast.
Actually, an old friend of mine. We went to college together.
At Reed, of all places, yes. And before the Yes Men, before the Yes Men were famous for their documentaries, they were doing crazy stuff like starting Malcolm X Boulevard, turning Front Street into Malcolm X Boulevard, having the people throw up red, white, and blue in front of the Dan Quayle appearance in town. This is
brilliant.
These are the kind of people that we bring to the airwaves here on KABU. The kind of eclectic, we know you love the eclectic programming. We have prankster programming like the Ubu Hour last night, Radio Theater, and we have fantastic pointed news programs like Air Cascadia this morning. Make sure that whatever program you love the best, call toll-free 877-500-KBOO to support all of it.
We'll have a report on an international petition to award military whistleblower Bradley Manning the Nobel Peace Prize. Also, we'll hear from a grassroots activist from Moscow, Idaho, on their battle against the building of the tar sands pipeline across half of America. And we'll have our regular weekly report on occupied Palestine with Nora Barros-Friedman and the electronic intifada.net. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. During the past week, more than 30,000 Americans have signed a petition urging a Nobel Peace Prize for U.S. Army Private Bradley Manning, the whistleblower who was arrested nearly 3 years ago on charges that he provided an enormous quantity of classified documents to WikiLeaks. You've heard this story many times. We care a lot about it on the show. The petition, addressed to the Norwegian Nobel Committee and posted online, already includes several thousand comments from signers who explain why they want a Nobel Peace Prize to be awarded to Manning. Joining us to talk about this is Jeff Cohen. He's co-founder of the online group RootsAction.org.
They launched this petition for the Nobel Peace Prize. Jeff is also the founding director of the Park Center for Independent Media at Ithaca College. Jeff, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Great to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you with us, Jeff. And let's be very specific. Why the Nobel Prize? What is relevant? Why does it connect up for you?
Well, the prize, as it was originally intended by Alfred Nobel's will, is supposed to go to the person who shall have done or most, the most or the best work for fraternity between nations, the abolition or reduction in standing armies. Bradley Manning has been an unbelievable whistleblower for the cause of peace. He was an army private. He saw all these documents that showed war crimes, that the U.S. had an official order not to intervene when allies in Iraq were torturing people. The civilian toll is documented. You know, the public government's always told us they're not keeping track of civilians. The Bradley Manning release documents show they are. I mean, on issue, we saw the videotape of Apache helicopter personnel almost seeming to enjoy the fact that people were being killed on the ground in Iraq, and that turned out to be civilians and at least one or two Reuters journalists. So there's all this evidence of war crimes, of official misbehavior by both the U.S. Defense Department and the U.S. State Department. And in the cause of peace, as originally intended by Alfred Nobel, I mean, there's a lot of worthy candidates this year, but it's hard to see anyone being more worthy than a guy who might be spending the rest of his life in prison for educating not only the U.S. public, but the world about some of the atrocities that are happening in the so-called U.S. war on terror.
Now, the corporate press would have to accept some responsibility for the lack of knowledge and understanding of what Bradley Manning was doing. I remember very well how the corporate press participated in the release of certain WikiLeaks. Everybody went and studied and published. But all of a sudden, that operation, WikiLeaks and anything associated with it, became persona non grata. You want to talk a little bit about the role that the corporate media plays in misinforming the public on something like Bradley Manning and